executive order about making positions that have been vacant for 90 days, eliminating them. Do you think that's going to have, because I know we still need, I think, a couple of counselors in the North Platte district, and I don't know how long those positions have been vacant. Do you think that's going to adversely affect our ability to fill those positions and to fill any new positions that come along?
Yes. That's a concern to us and to different agencies. We are going to be getting more training on that this week. I think it's May 7th via Zoom. And we will be asking more of those questions. But as it is now, the intent is any... Well, there's supposed to be some exceptions. And that remains to be known. We don't know what those exceptions can be.
Yeah, I did see something about some of the exceptions, like law officers and different things like that. So you're kind of still in the process then of learning how that's going to affect...
Yes, it just came out, on Thursday, right?
Yeah, it was just this last week,
yeah. Wednesday was the 30th that he issued that order, but we got the email on Thursday.
Okay, and I know you shared that with us, so...
Yeah, I will be advocating as much as we can, because we get federal funding, so that would be our main argument, that we need to provide services in order to keep getting those federal funds.
Can I add one thing?
Please.
In terms of the timelines of our open positions, the only one that, by the time that goes into effect June 1st, that would be past that 90-day point is our Omaha VR counselor position that we've had rounds of and not been able to hire for. So Tim and I have interviews scheduled for Tuesday with plans to second interview on Friday to keep it moving along as fast as we can, depending on how that goes. The other positions, we do have enough leeway with the timelines that if we keep it motivated, we should be okay.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
well, I want to thank the field service, especially Aaron, working very hard on this. It's kind of a big challenge to deal with all of that. And still training new folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is Miguel. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on what you guys learned, the team learned when they did their conversations with other counterparts when they were on the conversation?
Counterparts with other state directors? Or
yeah. Well, I thought you said that some of the staff were talked to other...
Oh, that's from the center.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they do is we are a very good agency, but we don't know everything. So the idea is to exchange ideas on how people do things, learning from them and us teaching them. And I haven't seen on any of those. All I know is that the center staff feel good about attending to those because they learn a few things on how, new challenges, like there's new technology, how do they approach that, how do they incorporate that new technology into teaching, how to make it accessible. So it's very much refining what we are doing.
Yeah, I just wanted to see you had some examples.
Do you have any examples there?
Well, I mean, I could share from my own experience going to Ruston and with Jessica, because I mean, that was kind of some of the things that we had learned, from mm-hmm. getting engaged with directors and staff. And sometimes what comes out of those things is a little bit of perspective of where our strengths are as well. When you see a very, like, Louisiana Center for the Blind is where we had gone, and they're a great organization as well. So it's kind of a good perspective in that regard as well. But then, there's just some logistical things about, how often do you meet with your teams or bring everybody together? So we got some good input on what they do there that seems to work well for them. And then, get down into the details as well, like we can talk about the whole management course. That was one structure to 7 people, which was really mind-boggling that they could do that. But they did it well. That we were able to evaluate some of the things, like what is our good student to staff ratio, what's the range that we can do, had some good conversations on that, as well as exploring the new world of virtual, online grocery shopping, and when do we do stuff, why do we do it. So a lot of those kinds of conversations. wide spectrum of them.
That's good, good. And then, just the last question. The remodel, the section of the cafeteria, is that through the MBE, or is it also through the office, or both?
Mainly office. They have a new commander, I think every few years they get a new person there. And this general wants to make those upgrades. The only expense that we are going to put is the micro market.
Okay.
Yeah. But they will be there remodeling, because to have the micro market, they will have to add some walls, and I think they are looking for some kind of nice glass walls, so it will make it kind of modern and nice.
But that's through, I mean, the expenses are
correct.
Through office.
Yep, okay. Yep. Because they are the ones who want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. The general's going to get his pepperoni pizza, right? Sorry, yeah, for those of you that don't know, I got a phone call from someone at the base because they had some issues supposedly with the cafeteria. It's because the weather basically caused their food delivery to be late, and so the general didn't get his pepperoni pizza.
Man.
I know. I guess the person was embarrassed to contact us. But
yeah, so they went to me instead.
during around that time, you know, it's the U.S. Stratcom, you understand, that's the main intelligence building for the country, and with different wars going on or pending, the general is expected to be there. So I can kind of see why he was frustrated, but I think eventually he cooled off and understand we didn't have that control.
Good.
Oh, I have one more question. So regarding the recontract of the cafeteria, does that contain whatever the remodel is? Is that dependent on the remodel?
No. They are going to include the remodeling. They are just negotiating some more the type of food we do. For instance, they want to have pop-ups, they call it. They want us to bring subcontracting restaurants. One day they want sushi, another day they want Mexican, another day French. Just give you example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we are telling them is, in our experience, if we do that, prices are going to increase 20%, number one. Number two, where are they going to cook that? Because we have the insurance for the staff that we cook, for the folks that we train, but those guys are going to bring their food from someplace else, so if that happens, we are not going to be accountable, but the subcontractor will. So we are dealing with all of that, and we asked 22 restaurants around the Bellevue area. Only two responded, and only one submitted a short plan, I guess. So the meeting will be on Monday to talk about those areas, but that's very much what the negotiation is being about.
Any other questions or comments for Carlos?
I guess I do maybe two questions or comments. First one has to do, when I read staff reports, usually the first line I see is networking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's the purpose of the networking, and how do we measure the outcome of that?
Yeah, the first part of the question is easy. The second part will be a little tough to answer, but because we don't have a mechanism, but I think there is a way that we are doing it, evaluating that. The networking, and Aaron, please call me at the end to add anything you need to add, okay?
Okay.
But mainly, as we network, we are educating folks about the services we provide. So when there is an opportunity of a blind individual to either get an internship there or an employment, we have that contact. So we don't see the results of the networking right away,
mm-hmm.
but as we are being known in the community in those areas, it's easier for us to place a client.
Okay.
eventually. That's one. The other one is the services. One of the reasons why I love my job is because there is never a day that is the same. Mm-hmm. Blind people are people, you know, we are the commission for the blind, but each blind individual has different needs. You know, sometimes housing, mental health, adoption, or trying to have custody, going through a divorce, housing, on and on, okay? And we are not experts on all of those areas. Mm-hmm. So networking help us to identify those areas so we can guide our clients to solve those issues so we can continue in their plan to eventually get employed. So that's kind of a summary. The way we measure success is by getting the good jobs for the clients, I guess, in general, and solving those issues in regarding home, I mean housing, and different services that they need throughout the program.
Understand. I think it's great. I think that's a very valuable effort. When I think about network, it is very important. When I think about our staff, some people have the tools and maybe they're best suited to be training and supporting the blind people. And have you considered maybe having some resources that's what they do, that's what they know how to do, and they're very good at it from a social media, however. But I do see the value in the people that understand what we do the best being out there networking. But mm-hmm. we always want to make sure that there's an outcome that we're trying to work towards. So,
One of the reasons we had chosen the word networking there was because it really does apply to all of our programs more than just VR. Because it is easy to think of VR in terms of like the employment outcomes, and we can measure that by like the Social Security reimbursement we get and things like that. But networking really also applies to our OIP and IL programs, and we can measure that through the referrals that we receive as well. Oftentimes, we maybe go network with an employer, and we find out that some employee's mom, and we get an OIP referral out of that. So we have so much crossover between our programs and such. So sometimes we'll even be there for an intent and we get an outcome in another program. So, you know, it is a good combination to look at all of those things. And the other thing I was just going to add is networking is very timely, time-consuming, you know what I mean? It takes a lot of time. So we like to showcase that staff are spending a lot of time there, because it's not just about what the end result is, too, because it does take a lot of effort to get there. For that last part, Mark, you had mentioned, we do quite a bit of that informal, you know, if we know somebody has a strength or something they really like, we do try to do a little bit of job sharing in those regards to have the most, the staff that are happy enjoying what they're doing and also, you know, having good results. But we don't formally divide the duties out in that way, but there's quite a bit of that within each district.
Well, I think it's great. I think you'll see that. And I don't know if I've seen that emphasis over the years, but I'm glad to see it. It's important. It doesn't happen unless you intentionally work at it, so I applaud your efforts. The other thing I had, this goes back to when you spoke at the state convention in Carlos. You had mentioned a lot of what your presentation had to do with numbers and dollars and things like that. And I heard two people that maybe don't understand the significance of what you're saying, but I do. You know, when you said earlier that the RSA or whether it's not going to increase the budget because not enough states are taking advantage of the dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the success stories in Nebraska is Nebraska does. You know, we not only take advantage of those allocation dollars, or the dollars that we give in a match, we were able to go out and get reallocation dollars and Social Security dollars. And that, you know, that allows us to do more things. And like when you say that, you know, you were talking about so many dollars that you got from the state for senior, older, blind, remember you talking mm-hmm. about that? You know, I know we need to tell the consumers and people that were doing that, and we need to embrace that somehow. The number is important at this level, but somehow we got to kind of communicate, not, this is not a criticism, but somehow we got to communicate what the benefits are to them individually, and not just as an agency. But, you know, when I heard you talking about a good part of the, a part of your presentation today had to do with things that the commission's able to do because we have more dollars, you know, like anything that has to do with the NBE, that we wouldn't be able to do that with some of the dollars we have.
Right.
The STRATCOM, the deaf-blind things, that a lot of state agencies aren't doing those, but we're able to do that. When I say we, the commission, because we have the dollars, and kudos to you guys for giving it. And but while we have to continually do that, we got to somehow articulate the message to the individual. You know, what's in it for them. So.
Yep, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's not a criticism.
No. I understand.
I have one more question. On that negotiation of the bid for the cafeteria, is the Van Shepherd operator to be operating the cafeteria, is that in there, or is there any intention of that? Or?
We have her name is Racheta. She was there before, and then her husband had a stroke, and she had to leave to take care of him. Anyhow, she's back. Retraining herself, and the expectation is that she will be the blind licensee there.
Is there a time submission
for what?
For her to be there? Or is she already there?
She's already there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's already there.
And I guess also, is there, regarding that, the pain of the 11% to the NPE, is that something not been done yet? Or?
It's 8% now. You're talking about set aside?
Yes, set aside.
From the cafeteria?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that needs to be negotiated with the vendor, because she needs to be able to show that she can run the cafeteria, which so far she's not. And if she's not, she will be kind of getting a flat salary per year, and it remains to know how she's going to pay that 8% to set aside. So that's something that needs to be negotiated with the subcontractors. But it's in the plans, because we haven't renewed the contract with the subcontractors with WEG yet, because we need to renew the contract with the cafeteria first. But that should be included there.
Mm, okay, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, comments from the board?
Just one comment that I had, Carlos, before we move on. And I kind of said this in private to you last night, but I certainly want to support any efforts that you do for talking to whoever we need to talk to make sure that the commission is you know, considered as far as any of these exemptions for this executive decision. That so, you know, anything I can do to help out, please don't hesitate to let me know. And I
sure
think that would be the case of anyone on the board. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It helps that you're not just on the board, but also consumers.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll just add to that. You know, one of the challenges is, you know, I was in project management. More people got into trouble because they didn't spend the money they got than they did, you know, overspending. And, you know, we always have to, if we're going to say we need this money, we have to continue to be able to manage properly and get the best possible return.
Yeah.
So, we, you know, I it's remarkable what we have, when I say we, the commission has done with a lot of new staff people.
It's not easy, but again, we have a team here.
Amazing team.
Yep.
That's a great, and it's phenomenal what you're doing.
Okay. I just have a comment. This is Linda. Related to that, that was one of the things that really impressed me when I went to the state staff meeting, which I was able to attend because we had a spring break for school, so I was free that week to do what I wanted to do. But as I listened to the new staff and you know, everybody, but the new staff specifically, you know, they were just really on board with everything and just really ready to get out there and get it done. And I think we have some quality people on staff, and I just, you know, it just impressed me that everybody's willing and wanting to work together to make it happen.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments, concerns?
Good job. Thank you.
Okay. Next thing on the agenda is public comment. Do we have any comment from our two people in the public? Okay, and then after that, we have the Newsline update. Kathy, would you mind reading that for us?
Certainly. little lengthier from Jamie this time than we are normally used to. So, this Newsline report was from Jamie Ritchie, wrote this report. She's, I'm back. From 2007 to 2017, I served as the Nebraska NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator. Now, 7 years later and two coordinators later, I'm here to give you this quarter's report until another coordinator can be found. After doing some digging, my last report was written in November 2017. At that time, Nebraska NFB Newsline had 2,038 subscribers. We now have 2,272 subscribers across Nebraska, which is an increase of 234. I know that more than 234 people have received services from the Nebraska Commission for the Blind or learned of resources for the blind in Nebraska since then. This means we must do better about getting the word out about Newsline. For those who may not know, here is a quick overview of Newsline. In Nebraska, NFB Newsline is available statewide, ensuring that individuals in both urban and rural areas have equal access to news and information. The service can be accessed through various platforms, including the phone, computer, Amazon Echo, and mobile devices, making it convenient for users to stay informed wherever they are. With over 500 publications, magazines, breaking news, emergency weather alerts, store circulars, and job and TV listings, there is something for everyone on NFB Newsline. In Nebraska, quite a few subscribers still prefer to dial into Newsline using either the toll-free or local numbers. In February, March, and April, subscribers read 10,145, 7,931, and 9,966 minutes, respectively. Between the 3 months, subscribers spend an average of 14.82 minutes per call, and 42.82% of those calls were made through a local number. With unlimited minutes on cell phones and unlimited long-distance calls available on most landlines, we need to encourage more people to use the local numbers. These local numbers cut down on cost, but it's hard to break old habits. Content is also accessed online through the iPhone mobile app, downloadable to a book player or through email. These methods are also popular in Nebraska with the most content read online. In total, subscriptions access Newsline through these methods 3,940 times in February, 7,273 times in March, and 4,639 times in April. All content is also available through the Amazon Echo, but no data is available for this format. Nebraska publications, which include the Omaha World Herald, the Lincoln Journal Star, the Associated Press, are accessed the most with a total of 2,526 times in February, 2,863 times in March, and 2,264 times in April. The national publications are next up in the list with the most access in March and least in February. Unfortunately, the international publications got the least amount of attention. The other content accessed the most to the least is as follows: breaking Newsline online, TV listings, magazines, local weather, and emergency alerts, and Nebraska local channels. No data is available for the job listings portion of Newsline. The availability of NFB Newsline in Nebraska has had a significant impact on the blind and visually impaired community. By providing access to newspapers and magazines, the service empowers individuals to stay informed about current events, engage in discussions, and participate more actively in society. Additionally, NFB Newsline promotes independence and autonomy by giving users the freedom to choose what they want to read and how they want to access the information. The Nebraska Commission for the Blind has supported NFB Newsline since 2000, for which we are grateful. We must continue to work together to raise awareness about the service among potential users and expand the number of publications offered. In the near future, I plan to meet with the director and other key staff of the Commission for the Blind to collaborate together to expand Newsline in Nebraska. Together, we can make NFB Newsline available to all on the phone, on the web, and on the go. If you wish to have additional information included in future reports or demonstrations of any of the services, please don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you for your support. Happy reading. That's the Newsline report.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next up is the Client Assistant Program. Do we have any updates on that, Carlos?
Yeah, there was one complaint, mainly because it was from the Omaha District. The client was complaining that we didn't get back to him or her as we follow up. The counselor or the supervisor did call that person back, but no response. So.
Okay. And we have our second public comment period. Any comments from the public? I have to ask.
Okay, with that, we have a break. We're a bit early for that, but according to the schedule, we're supposed to, reconvene at about 10:40. We're actually a little bit ahead of schedule, so do we want to do 10:30?
Sure. Well, 10, it's 10:07 right now, so
yeah.
15 minutes.
15 minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
So
10:20?
Yeah, 10:20, that works.
10:20 is good.
All right, so we'll reconvene at 10:20.